Is Ireland really home to the most haunted castle? Is one of the kin of the O'Carroll clan chained to the bloody chapel? Was a brutal keep built on the grounds of something truly evil? Today we test the believability of Lepp Castle.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Today we are going somewhere we haven't been before, but I am truly excited to go. Ireland.
Yeah, it sounds like history.
Oh, sir. Yes, it is mostly history today. Actually, perfect. Open your history books to page 147.
I'm going to go to the back of the class, put my hood up, put some AirPods in. Just don't ask me any questions.
I'm sure that we will have some students who are willing to work for our grade in this class. So that is really teacher of me. I'm sorry. I did beat a 12 and a 13-year-old boy in arm wrestling today, so I feel pretty good about myself.
Good thing you edit. Otherwise, I would have just cut it off at I beat a 12 and a 13-year-old today. So on today's episode.
Yeah, no, that's what I did in school today. I am really excited to get into this conversation about this castle. Not sure if you're familiar with it.
Nope.
Really?
No.
All right. It's big. It's also a big place.
I realize that I know more about supernatural beings and things and cryptids way more than places. Like, I think we were on an interview one time where someone was like, "We're somewhere you would want to go ghost hunting," or something like that. And I was like, I'm not super familiar with very famous haunted places. A lot of the ones we've covered on this podcast are ones I learned about on this podcast.
This is a place that would be amazing to go.
So is that like before Montana or do we go after Montana?
Oh, this is an after Montana trip for sure.
Okay. I guess we would need a passport.
Yeah. Any passports and plane tickets or boat tickets, I guess. Something to get us there. Let us start this trek into Ireland's most haunted castle. Lepp Castle is spelled L-E-A-P, like leap, but it's pronounced Lepp.
That's silly.
It is. Well, I blame the Irish.
Maybe you have to say it with an Irish accent to get the right pronunciation.
That's how it comes out, yeah. So it's the mystery of how it got its name, or the myth of how it's got its name, comes from the O'Bannon clan. And the quick story, just the quick little story is, Tyler, take your hood off. Take your hood off. All right.
Were you talking to me? I'm sorry. I was listening to another podcast.
So the brief history is that the two sons of like this like nobleman in Ireland, they wanted to do a competition for who was going to get their father's inheritance. And they picked a boulder on the side of the castle. And it was like a really big boulder, and it was so big that they could potentially die from this jump, and the one who would jump and live is the one who would inherit the father's possessions.
And if they both died?
I don't know. I don't think they had a backup plan.
They have to go produce kids really quick just in case.
Yeah.
And then the kids have to jump from miniature-sized rocks. It's gruesome.
Cute, though. But that is the story, the brief story of how...
Well, give us the ending.
That we don't know.
What?
We don't know.
It's just all hype.
In theory, one of them lived.
So we don't know which one?
No.
Lepp?
Yeah.
Whichever one was named Lepp, or is that their last name?
O'Bannon is the last name.
So what does that have to do with Lepp Castle?
That's the idea, is that one of them leapt from the rock.
Oh, leapt.
Yeah. And they earned the castle that way.
You forgot to include that in the...
I guess I did. That's where the name came from. It came from them jumping off this boulder. But their victory was short-lived, because soon after that, the O'Carroll clan, a monstrous clan, they came in and they took them out.
So the O'Bannons were beaten by the O'Carrolls?
Yes.
Can we make this episode Believing O'Bizarre?
Yes.
I don't know if that's how it works.
I don't know.
You know what? You know what? Just for a quick little moment, this is why I think I don't love history as much. I have a hard time sometimes relating to history. Okay. Like, it doesn't, like, that, what you just said, that myth, and, like, the abandons, and this huge castle, and inheritance by jumping off of rocks. Man, I see rocks in my life, I guess, but you know what I mean? It just, there's very little for me to grasp onto. Like, it's interesting. Maybe I'm just very self-centered, but maybe that's why I don't like some history, because stuff from, like, 500 years ago is just so different. That's, sorry, I'm looking inward right now.
Yeah.
Because maybe I want to like history. I don't.
I think.
But if I did, maybe this would be a good place to start trying to figure out why I don't.
I'm going to pull it out of you someday. I think so. But the O'Carroll, let's move on to the O'Carroll clan. This first part comes from Ireland Before You Die from Paris Callan. Lepp Castle is in County Offaly County. Offaly? I think it's Offaly. Offaly. I'm not fluent in Celtic. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But it was added onto in the 16th century by the O'Carrolls. John O'Carroll was the lord that is responsible for doing the additions and adding onto. So the castle went from the O'Bannons to the O'Carrolls to the Darbys, and it finally ended up in the Ryans. And the Ryans are the ones who currently have it.
Are you sure it's not owned by Zach Baggins? It feels like this is something he would buy.
No, but I'm pretty sure they did an episode on this.
He's going to break out a room and put it in his museum.
If there's one room, it would probably be the Bloody Chapel, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So in 1922, the castle was actually set on fire, and that comes from a lot of years of the people that own the castle being loyal to the British crown, and they're in Ireland. Now, I'm not sure how much you understand of that. Do you know what that means?
No, and I guarantee a lot of our audience probably doesn't either. So
okay, I'll give a little brief explanation. And it's okay if you don't. I just want to clarify some of the animosity there. Britain has a history of picking on Ireland as far as enlisting Ireland to be part of its army from forever, basically.
They're like, their accents are funny.
yeah, kind of. And North Ireland is still part of Britain right now, the part of the UK. Although Southern Ireland has broken off and it's now its own country.
Like, it's in Great Britain, but we don't think they're great because they're Irish, so it's mediocre Britain.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a lot of
subpar Britain
anger there. So that's what the IRA is, or the Irish Republic Army. And that's, I'm going to go as far as say a terrorist cell, because they've done some terrible things because of the separation of North Ireland and South Ireland. They think it should be united. And that's why this castle was burned down in 1922, because of this loyalty to Britain, and they think it should be Irish.
So, who thinks it should be loyal?
People in Ireland think that this Irish castle should be Irish.
Okay.
But the people who owned the castle for a long time were loyal to Britain.
Derby?
Yes.
Okay. So, Derby is loyal to Britain, but it's in Ireland.
Yes. Northern Ireland.
And therefore, they're like, all right, if you can't have it, no one can. And then they burned it.
Well, it's stone, so it didn't burn down all the way. Right? So you can't burn down stuff.
That was my next question. I'm like, how much gasoline? It's like one servant just tripped and dropped like their Bath and Body Works candle and just sweater weather. No. It was $30.
So many people have died in this castle throughout the years.
Just because it's been around forever?
Yeah, exactly. It's been the O'Carrolls were, I'm serious, they were brutal.
And they're the ones that took it from the O'Bannons.
Yes, that's right. So you're doing great. You get an A in this quiz so far. They killed battalions of men. Like, people they hired, they ended up slitting their throats while they were sleeping, staying there. And
they hired them and then killed them?
Yeah.
That's just a Tuesday for the O'Carrolls.
That's right.
And I guess they got their money back.
That's probably why they did it, actually. That makes sense.
It's not funny, but it's ridiculous.
That's a hell of a return policy.
Yeah.
Also, there were women and children that were murdered in this castle, too. And what they do with the bodies, we'll get into later, because that's its own separate pile of f***ed up.
So, who are the people that they hired that they killed? Were they, like... So, the O'Carrolls are Irish?
Yes, that's right.
And so, did they hire a bunch of British people?
They hired other Irish, smaller clans.
And just because they didn't... Was there any reason for that animosity?
There were lots of, disputes between factions at this time, and they hire these clans to fight for them, basically.
They needed some Kelpies up in there to keep people apart.
I don't know if they came over to Ireland. So there are several locations in this castle that are haunted in their own right. First place I want to talk about is called the Bloody Chapel. The Bloody Chapel is said to be the most famous haunted location at this castle. So way back when the O'Carrolls ruled, there was a terrible murder on the now burnt out chapel. After the brutal succession of another clan, Teig O'Carroll ran screaming holy chants into the chapel during mass, and he stabbed the priest, who was his own brother, in the back with a sword, and he died on the altar in front of his whole family, bleeding out.
I'm not surprised that he did this, based on the very limited information I've gathered about the O'Carrolls.
Yeah.
What do you mean by a successful succession?
Succession. So, like, there was a clan that was trying to overtake them, but they won, basically. Oh. They were trying to get the keep, but they won. And there was a search for power between Teig and his brother Thaddeus, who was the priest. And Thaddeus's ghost is one of the oldest in the keep. For centuries, there have been reports of his figure in the chapel and even on the staircase going into the chapel. From outside of the chapel, people see lights from this location on the castle as if he's still there. Like during night, they see lights coming out of this part of the chapel. And so they think it's haunted still. I don't see what else it could be, because it's bright lights too. It's not just like little candle lights.
Are people allowed to tour?
They are at certain times, but it's privately owned. But it's also been for centuries they've been seeing this. So you go back in time, you've been seeing these lights for the 1700s, the 1800s, before there were light bulbs.
So what were they battling each other about?
Look who's interested in the history.
They
were battling to gain power and to gain the keep. They were interested in gaining power.
Against each other? Aren't they the same clan?
The brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one wanted to be in charge of the clan.
They should have just got rocks, had them jump.
Exactly. Exactly. They should have. They said, do the old leap thing.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. You're like, you're not going to try and kill me before then, are you? No. Where's that sword of yours? I just want to look at it.
Where's your sword, backstabber?
Yeah. Brute.
So I have a little personal encounter from C. Lee McKenzie. This is her own encounter in the Bloody Chapel. Quote, when I climbed the narrow, winding stairs into the Bloody Chapel, nothing unusual happened. Once in the chapel, I took pictures and sat at the dusty table to have a good look into the shadowy corners. Sunlight filtered through the Gothic windows without panes, but with swags of spidery filaments. Beautiful outside. Ghost inside? ? It wasn't until I'd returned to the lower rooms of the castle that I noticed my backpack was missing its metal pull. I found that pull in the bottom of my bag, which was closed and reattached.
Oh, you're saying pull?
Yeah.
I sound like you're saying pool.
Oh, no. P-U-L. Pool. It was hard to do, and I needed to pry open the clasp with a knife edge to slip it back into place. The pull never came off again. It's still in my bag, but in the Bloody Tower, it came off. That's the end of the story. End quote. So basically, her little zipper came off of her bag and went into the bag without ever opening.
Okay, that's such an interesting detail to have with your experience. You know what I mean? It's like you almost don't think they're making it up because it's so like, you know, it's not like something was misplaced like entirely, or like my book bag moved from here to here, or something was taken out of my book bag. But like the zipper was taken off and then put inside.
Yeah, it's almost trivial.
Yeah, it's like the ghost was like, I'm not going to terrify him. I just want to minorly inconvenience them.
Yeah. Well, he was a priest. I don't know. That means he's not malevolent.
That's true. He's just playing harmless pranks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the next place that is haunted in Lepp Castle is the Priest's House. Ever since the castle burnt down, these structures were left untouched. Long before the residents of the castle reported seeing strangeness there. Mildred Darby, who is a very important figure in Lepp Castle's history, we'll get to her more later, but she said about the Priest's House, there is something heavy that lies on people's beds and snores, and they feel the weight of a great body pressing against them in a room in the Priest's House.
Man, that makes me think of Ohio University.
I was thinking that too when I read it.
Yeah, the snuggler. Mm-hmm. The ghostly snuggler.
The snuggler. The
snoring dude. You got a ghost that's snoring.
I know. Ugh. Like, you got to get that guy on a sleep apnea machine.
Yeah, exactly. Get some nose strips up in there.
Yeah.
Man. Just leave them there. Be like, I don't care if they disappear in the morning. I don't care if they get moved. Use them bitches.
It made me think, like, how common is that for a ghost to sleep with people without them knowing? Or you can, like, feel the pressure on the bed.
Yeah, I wonder if the ghosts know that there's someone else there, or if it's just they're reliving kind of moments of their life and they slept on the bed, so they're sleeping on the bed.
In OU, did they ever address, do you know if they ever addressed if it was in different rooms or if it was just in the one room?
I think it was just the one room.
I don't remember.
Well, I maybe it was just that hall. Maybe it wasn't the specific room. I think it was the hall.
Yeah.
There was one room that was weird where the girl potentially
412, 408?
1408 is Stephen King. It was like 4 or something.
Yeah.
But that was where the person jumped out the window.
No.
No, they slit their wrists.
Slit their wrists.
Yeah.
That's the bad one.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was a beautiful melody of unknowing.
I call it uncertainty.
Okay, let's move on.
B minor.
So what is creepier? Than one young dead girl.
Two. That's what The Shining taught us.
That's true. And that is exactly what happened in Leb Castle.
Oh.
There are two. Emily and Charlotte are just that. Two young girls that are seen playing in the main entrance of the castle. Emily has a specific death that we can trace. They're both from the 1600s. They lived there in that time period. Emily was 11 years old when she died. She died from falling from the battlements of the castle.
What is that?
It's the high up part of the castle. Like, you know, like when you think of like
the pointy?
Yes.
How'd she get up there?
She was climbing around. They didn't have safety ramps and stuff then.
Kids be climbing.
Yeah. And she died from falling. And her ghost can still be seen falling from the battlements as well.
Oh, that would be creepy to see.
Yeah,
it would be like that moment where you think someone fell and then you run to go check on them.
Yeah.
And maybe you see a like impression in the grass, but there's no one there. So either it's a little girl ghost or it's Michael Myers. Someone's coming for you.
Charlotte, on the other hand, has a distinct feature, but her death is unknown. We don't know how she died. Her distinct feature is that her left leg is deformed and crippled. So these two girls are seen in the main entrance of Leb Castle playing, one of them with a deformed leg.
Not that the deformity is gross, and I want to backpedal there for a second because I want.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the movie Rose Red, and it reminds me of, I think her name was April Rimbauer. She was like a 10-year-old girl that died in there, but she had a deformed arm, like deformed in the fact that like there was no muscle. It just kind of was just there, kind of gotcha. Weathered. And it was making me think of that because the movie's not as scary now as it was back then. But there were still a lot of parts of it that freaked me out. But that's what it makes me think of.
I have a quote from Sean Ryan, who is now the owner of Leb Castle from the Irish Times. And he said, he also sees the girls. Sometimes we see them quite clearly ourselves and others as well. Some days it's fainter, only aura. They have long white dresses. It looks like cotton. And they, the children, seem happy. Which that's is nice.
Good. Yeah, it's nice. They probably don't realize they're dead.
So the priests and the children seem to be not malevolent spirits. They seem to be fairly calm spirits, if anything, right? The thing that we're about to talk about next is called the elemental.
Hi, officer. Everything okay?
Have you been drinking tonight, sir? What is that?
What? This? No.
That looks like a beer to me.
I can totally see why you'd think that based on its sleek, tallboy aesthetic, but it's actually a can of Liquid Death.
Liquid Death?
Yeah, the new water company.
You think I'm stupid? Here, let me try that. H2O shit.
Right?
By God, this is fucking fantastic. I mean, this is good.
You can taste the mountain water quality, can't you?
And the can, it's so cold.
Yeah, exactly.
And my thirst is gone.
Not just gone, murdered. Just like your favorite 80s slasher, Liquid Death stalks dehydration. There is nowhere for thirst to hide as it wanders around lost in minimal clothing, letting the suspense build until the crescendo of sound and thirst is slaughtered. Hey, what are you doing?
writing you a ticket for hurting our great Mother Earth. You should be using a reusable bottle.
No. See, this can is infinitely recyclable.
That sounds too good to be true. What am I supposed to think? They donate 5% of their proceeds to fight plastic pollution?
Actually, no. They donate 10% to eliminate plastic waste.
Say, where can I pick up these beer-like, dope-as-shit cans of water?
Just head to your local Whole Foods or 7-Eleven. You can even order online.
That's right. And you can head online to liquiddeath.com/bizarre, where you'll get free shipping if you buy 2 or more cases of water.
Yeah. Wait, how did you know that?
I'm actually an undercover agent working for Liquid Death, the DDU.
DDU?
The Destroyed Dehydration Unit.
Nice.
Calling all DDUs. We have a thirsty suspect between Believing Boulevard and Bizarre Road.
Roger that. Have a good night. And again, be sure to go to liquiddeath.com/bizarre and join Liquid Death's Country Club by selling your soul, and you'll get a free shirt with your purchase of water.
Again, that's liquiddeath.com/bizarre. Slaughter your thirst today.
The Elemental, a creature that seems to be non-human spirit, perhaps something that is much older than anything on the land. Some think the spirit was summoned by druidic magic or a dark evil sorcerer. Some think that it's a thought form ghost like a tulpa, or some think that is evil brought from the bloodshed of the O'Carrolls.
It's like all the bloodshed attracted this negative entity.
Yeah. Some think it's bound to the castle through druidic magic, and some think it just likes it there. Some think it just has energy to feed off of there. I'm not sure, to be honest. Elementals are scary. We haven't really talked about elementals in anything yet, but the idea of an elemental is, maybe we've talked about it in passing, but the idea is it's a spirit on another plane. It's not human. It's not demonic. It's something older, like a nature spirit.
But bad?
They're never presented as good things. They have no sympathy, no compassion, because they've never been human.
They just say, deal with it, get a job, move out.
Yeah, they have different qualities than both demonic and human spirits. Now, the elemental is an elemental. Others think that the elemental is a decaying ghost of John Carroll, who's trapped there. Now, remember we talked about John O'Carroll was the first O'Carroll.
Okay. The one that it just made me think of the school of John Carroll.
Oh, no, different. But do you remember we talked about the idea of, I don't think we talked about it in here, but the idea of ghosts not being able to maintain their shape?
No, it makes me think of the vampire movie Daybreakers with Sam Neill.
I've not seen that.
There are these vampires where if they don't feed on human blood, they like transform into like beasts, like monstrosities.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd say that. That sounds right.
Cool.
But that's another idea for what the elemental is. It's also called The Thing or It.
Both great movies.
So we have a couple of personal encounters from Mildred Darby. She's important because some people think that she was the one that was part of the occult practices that helped bind spirits to the location.
So it was the Darbys. That's the time period where things got spooky.
Yeah. I mean, the Darbys were in the castle for a long time. They had it all the way up to the burning.
Okay.
And that's around when she was there, in the 20s, when spiritualism was popular. And in the 20s, something was found by the Darbys from the O'Carrolls. And that's my next two sections. We'll talk about that later. But some people think the elemental is connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read this first encounter from Mildred.
Yes.
Quote, I was standing in the galley, looking down at the main floor, when I felt somebody put their hand on my shoulder. The thing was about the size of a sheep. This gaunt, shadowy. Its face was human. To be more accurate, inhuman. Its lust in its eyes, which seemed half decomposed in black caveats, stared into mine. The horrible smell, 100 times intensified, came up into my face, giving me deadly nausea. It was the smell of a decomposing corpse.
I see then where they're going with the decomposing spirit.
Yeah. So this is the first encounter with the thing.
That's creepy. And there's really not much you could mistake this for? Like, I'm not saying she narrowed down what it was, but based on her descriptions, there's really not like a, oh, it was probably just this, or she had a couple of drinks and it was the family dog. Like,
it's creepy though, this description of the thing. This next story is a little bit longer and involves several people.
Do we know all the people?
We don't know them.
Give me the players. Give me the pieces.
Two maids, two boyfriends, Mr. and Mrs. Darby.
Okay. And this is from Mildred?
Yes. All right. This is the letter. Quote, on the 25th of November, 1915, two of our servants, knowing the master would be late and that I would be driving that afternoon, had invited friends, two soldiers from the barracks at Beer, on the other side, 6 miles. They came rather late, and my husband came home early, so the visitors had to be kept out of his sight in the lower regions of one of the wings, and were unable to be shown the center tower. At 7:15, my husband and I went up to dress for dinner. My room, an extremity for house from kitchens, meaning her room was next to the kitchens. His dressing room was next door to mine. Whilst dressing, I was startled by a loud yell of terror. Stricken male and female voices came, coming apparently from the hall, and I ran out to see the cause. My husband out ahead of me, at his heels, I passed through the corridor of the wing and onto the galley. On the galley, leaning with hands resting on its rail, I saw the thing, the elemental, and the smell of it only too well. At the same moment, my husband pulled up sharply about 10 feet from the thing, and half turned, half led a flying volley of abuse. My husband went off, began waving his hands, and the thing ended up stalking back to his dressing room, still abusing me for trying to give him a fright. As he was speaking, the elemental grew fainter and fainter until it disappeared. He never made any inquiry as to the yell that called us both out, and from that day, he has not mentioned the incident to me. I had heard from our servants that when we had went to dress for dinner, they had brought their friends just to show them the hall. When all four had suddenly seen and smelled the elemental looking down at them from the galley, they had gotten such a turn, they couldn't help letting out a brawl, then fled to the servants' quarters, where they were all very sick. The next day, the two maids presented Mildred with letters, claiming it was necessary for them to immediately visit their homes. They never returned. End quote. So, basically what happened, I know this old language is hard to follow sometimes. Basically what happened, they went up, they dressed for dinner. While they're dressing, they heard a scream. They went out. They saw the elemental. Her husband was freaking out. He thought it was a trick from Mildred, and he stomped back to his room. And as he was stomping and yelling, the elemental faded out behind him.
Like it was controlling him?
Yeah. Like there was hostility in the air from the elemental. And he never said if he smelt it. That was never mentioned. Because this elemental is said to have this very particular smell.
Well, the decaying.
The decomposing corpse. Yeah.
I wonder if decaying spirit wasn't pitched, if we'd be more on like a demonic mindset.
I don't know. Just the way it's presented, I don't think it's demonic. I don't. I think it's either an elemental or a decaying spirit.
There's two little girls in the story, and you're assuming both of them are just natural ghosts. You might be a demon. That seems very un-Charlie-like.
I don't know. Maybe Charlotte's a demon.
Now you're just like picking and choosing. Like, yeah, maybe it's this one.
Well, Emily has a clear origin story.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. This story about the elemental is, it really concerns me. I wish there was a more modern sighting of the elemental, but...
Yeah, it seems kind of like a Mildred thing.
It does, doesn't it?
Maybe she's just nuts.
Well, I mean, but the servants said they saw it too, though.
She paid them to be nuts. I'm just kidding. She didn't. She probably doesn't pay them.
Okay, so that was the elemental. Let's move on to the Red Lady. Red Lady's fast. So this poor soul was captured by the O'Carrolls, and she was mistreated, and she was actually raped many times.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. She became pregnant, and they let her come to full term. She had the baby. After she had the baby, it was taken from her and actually executed with a knife.
Oh, my God.
It gets worse.
This is the Darbys or the
O'Carrolls? This is the O'Carrolls.
Okay.
You can tell from the bloodshed.
Yeah.
And... this woman, she was so distraught and devastated by this, she found the knife the very next day, and she killed herself with it as well. And her ghost can still be seen walking around the keep with the bloody knife. That's the Red Lady.
So there's no reason, it's just like, we don't want the baby?
Yeah, they don't want an illegitimate heir.
That's sad, man.
So the last one, the Abletz, which is a French word derivative from forgotten.
Mm.
And it means it's a dungeon, basically. But the door is not, like, it doesn't open. It's from a top trapdoor.
Oh, you just fall in and then it's like, see ya.
Yeah. And this was discovered near the Bloody Chapel by the Darbys after the fire. And the Ryans, the family that got the castle after the Darbys, they started to clear out the place to make it better. They found 150 human remains in this dungeon.
They brought like 50 desks from IKEA trying to spruce the place up. Like, oh my God.
They started doing renovations, actually. Sean Ryan was the one who says he sees a girl still.
So he's the owner right now.
He's the owner right now. That's right.
Okay. Well, Darby's had it for a long time.
They did have it for a very long time. And, you know, dungeons are no jokes. Like, they're portrayed in, like, popular culture. It's just like, oh, we'll throw them in the dungeon, they'll be fine. It's not like that.
Probably spiders.
Yes, there are. It's dark. It's pitch black because it's in the basement of this huge building. It's damp. It's dirty. It's disgusting. And the castle actually has spikes, like iron spikes at the bottom. So like a tiger pit. So if you fall in there, you're going to get impaled by these spikes.
Ugh.
Most of the people that went into these dungeons were already dead. Like I mentioned, the clans already that were killed by the O'Carrolls, this is where they went. I assume this is where the Red Lady and the baby went to.
It's just like their disposal,
yeah,
of people.
It's like that's the saddest way to put that, but it's like a garbage disposal of people, yeah.
Oof.
They just kind of threw them in there when they didn't need them anymore.
Magic.
if you were lucky, you were dead before you went in there, because if you weren't dead, you would fall broken, shattered onto this ground, or maybe even like a metal iron spike. And I just wanted to make sure that's clear, that dungeons aren't funny. They really are not.
Everything else we talk about on the podcast, you can make a joke about, but dungeons are now officially off limit.
Yes. Now, Sean or the Ryans have a couple of encounters with the dungeons because they were doing renovations. So Sean said when he was renovating the castle, he felt that something didn't want him there. These are the things that happened to him when he was trying to renovate. He broke his kneecap when he was carrying out renovations. He said that the ladder was pushed and he had to jump from the ladder and he incurred an injury, which led to his kneecap having to be removed and replaced. And he had a further injury where he broke his ankle. Thankfully, he hasn't had anything else happen to him since then. But can you imagine that?
A patella removal?
Yeah.
No, although I will say my right knee's kind of messed up. I wouldn't necessarily mind a new right kneecap. But yeah, I mean, that, like, having a ladder pushed, that's no joke.
That is scary.
That, I mean, I don't like heights already. Like, you get me on the third rung, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sweating. No, that's scary. That would make me not. So is the idea just that, like, maybe the spirits there don't want it to be changed or messed around with?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing with hauntings, is that as soon as you start renovating a place, they become active.
He starts painting it blue. They're like, we like purple.
I think it's the idea that change alerts them to something's happening. But that is all my stories about Lep Castle. I don't have any personal encounters. I kind of threw them into the actual story.
Yeah, there's no rule that says they have to be at the end. That just happens to be when they normally are. Right. Interweaving them, it's fine.
Yeah, I did what I could, and I thought it was a pretty interesting story. So with that, would you like to go to the discussion?
Let's.
So, I just want to go ahead and thank everyone who has joined our Patreon, because we really appreciate it. Those new people are Haley, Andy, Jeffrey, Killian, Brooklyn, and Heather. Thank you so much for joining and getting access to all the fun content we have on Patreon, like Director's Cut, which we're going to record today, quizzes, which I lost.
Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. And what else is on Patreon, Tyler?
Pimping me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we do listener submission interviews, so every single person that submits a story that we turn into an episode, we reach out to interview them and get a little bit more information. Just last month, we started doing the Netflix party watch, so that if you're a patron, you can actually watch the movie with us, and we record a little segment about what we thought about the movie afterwards. And we also do, as you guys heard last Friday, Do You Believe the Bizarre with Haunting Season. We actually play that game every single month, where our producer Ben asks us whether we find those stories believable or not.
Do you hear that music?
Yeah, what? Dude, actually, I didn't notice it until right now.
Is that
the weird, right? Is that music?
I don't know.
That's don't weird.
Know. Let's get back to the episode. So, Tyler, we just talked about Lubb Castle, the most haunted castle in Ireland. So, I have a couple questions for you.
Yes. I don't know if I'll be able to answer properly, but...
So, with all the history of violence, do you believe there's room for a haunting in this castle?
Dude, even if the O'Reillys or whatever... the O'Connors or the O'Callaghans...
O'Carrolls.
The O'Carrolls. Even if they didn't go on a, like, blood spree of just killing and murdering, just that dungeon alone and the fact that that dungeon exists... Imagine the people building the castle... They're building that room. They finish the basement. They're like, is there any other thing you'd like to add? And like, yeah, we were thinking about like a dungeon. You're like, oh, that's weird. Like the shackles. And like, no, kind of like spikes in the ground, but only on half. So there's still a chance they could fall and just break their bones and not get impaled. Well, you guys, listen, you guys are the architects. So I'll leave it up to your discretion. Rancors don't exist yet or ever. So we'll work on that. But for now, we'll just keep the spike in the hard floor.
Oh, man, I just think I like a kelpie in the basement. It's so cool.
They should make it really high. I'm breaking our only rule right now by making a joke out of this dungeon, so I apologize. But they should make it really high, and there's just all these spikes, and then, like, a twin-size bed. And they're like, good luck.
To land on the twin-size
bed. It's really springy, so I would try to also kind of direct your bounce. I'm like, you're falling and you hit the bed. You're like, I did it. And then you bounce off and you're just like, oh no.
Do you believe any of the ghost stories?
The zipper one is strange. Something weird happened there.
The Bloody Chapel.
Yeah. That's a weird story. I mean, something strange happened. I'm not sure what. And that's also tied to the lights. People mm-hmm. are seeing lights in there. So that's unusual. My problem with the elemental is... It's one person's account, Mildred, and there's no reason for me to think that she's not truthful or of a sane mind, but was she a Darby or was she...
She's the Darby, yeah. There's also no other accounts of the elemental.
Yeah, and if I were to believe in the elemental, maybe that's why... the O'Carrolls were so violent. Like, maybe it wasn't natural. Maybe there was so much negative energy in this castle that it just led to people being off the hinges and more violent. And that's kind of what led to...
That led to the blood drive. That could be, too.
Because like, I know you said maybe all the killing attracted, kind of this spirit. But also, if it was already there, it might have perpetuated it.
It would have ramped it up anyway.
And that's why the history of it is more violent than you might expect it to be.
In a time of violence, this place was exponentially more violent. And maybe that's because there was this evil entity there ramping it up. That's a good point.
What do you think?
Me?
Yeah. Do you think it's haunted?
I don't know. It's supposed to be like one of the most haunted places in like Europe. And if it was, I feel like I would have found more and better actual encounters.
Maybe the people just keep it to themselves. They're like, they don't rush to Google or Reddit to tell their stories.
I don't know about that. Wouldn't you want that kind of positive attention?
Have you written any of your ghost stories down?
No, but I mean, I haven't been to supposedly one of the most haunted places in the United States.
Would you write it down if you did?
Possibly. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Yeah. I'm just playing devil's advocate. You would assume after all these years that there'd be more besides just Mildred and like these. So where was the zipper one? Was that Reddit?
No, that was her own website.
Oh, she created her own website to lostzippers.com.
I think she had like a blog.
Oh, okay. That's so weird that she called it a poll.
I think she's Irish.
They're zippers, bro.
Is there any ghost that stands out to you particularly?
I mean, the elemental is creepy, if true. Terrifying. The priest... No, you know what? The priest is what it is, because that's tied to the zipper story. But... The lights, people seeing lights in the castle is probably right now the most believable thing to me. But the girls, there's something creepy about that, because we already talked about the girls, but also because it has that, I'm relating it to Rose Red, so there's like that connection to me. Like I said in the beginning, where it's like, history, I can't relate. Well, I'm making it relate because I'm making it, I'm thinking of a movie that resonated with me. So that sticks out to me, but there's not, how, what kind of sightings do people have?
Well, the owner says they see them sometimes. Sean Ryan, he says he still sees them.
Okay, Sean.
Which is...
Go fix your kneecap, Sean.
That had to be removed.
Ooh.
Imagine how violent of a history, those violent deaths in the dungeons. Imagine what kind of concoction of ghosts that made.
Like it's a mixer back there, a mixologist.
Yeah.
With a ponytail. What if you broke your knee and they couldn't fix it? And they couldn't, they had no, and nothing nearby because you're on some island. Yeah, you're on a stranded island and there's nothing they can replace it with, but they have to replace it with something. Otherwise, you'll never be able to walk again. And you wake up and you're like, you got a little bit of salty seawater in your mouth and you spit it out. And you're like, oh my God, that was terrifying. And you're like, my knee. And they're like, we fixed it. And you're like, how? And they're like, Charlie, we put a jellyfish in your knee.
Oh my God. That doesn't, I would die.
Charlie's deathly afraid of jellyfish.
I would drown myself. That's what the jellyfish wants.
Back to the sea.
I would hope it would be a coconut, if anything. Man, I don't know. I don't know if I find a lot of this story believable, which I hate going down like this, which such, it's like such a big thing. I feel like we're going to get like backlash because like, how could you not believe it? Well, I just, there's not enough. Like seeing it, like there's like they, all these stories say there's reports of people seeing these specters and all these reports of it. But where are the reports? I haven't
YouTube,
seen them.
YouTube, I don't know. Zach Baggins collects them.
I looked
all.
On YouTube too. I looked all over. I could not find them.
Sometimes the idea of something outlasts what actually happened or gets grander than what actually happened.
That's true.
That's why I said last episode that personal listener submissions resonate with me sometimes more because it's somebody's firsthand account that is recent rather than these large extravagant stories that have been passed down for years and years and years and years, where it's like the stories get greater and grander, but we also get farther away from these stories.
Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what happened with this castle.
I want to see an interview with Mildred on YouTube.
I don't think she's alive, man.
Well, then
she was older in 1915.
Believable. Until proven otherwise. Then I'll give it a skeptical.
I say skeptical. Yeah,
that's kind of you. And you know what? Maybe I'll do some more research on my own. I won't. And maybe I'll change my mind.
I was going to say, if I could find like the mother of load of these castle reports, maybe this is one we'd revisit. Like we talked about revisiting the Skinwalker stories. If we can like find a bunch of stories about it and people want to hear it. That might be kind of cool to do with this, too.
And also, eventually, we'll probably be doing this on our Patreon as a director's cut.
Yeah.
And that I always view that as my opportunity to change my mind or to make an amendment to my decision. So, but for now, I'll leave it at unbelievable.
So, thank you for joining us on this week's episode. Man, the Lep Castle.
I feel like there's a lot of other things you could name it for besides that, like the burned, the crispy castle.
Well, I mean, at the time when it was named, that's all they had, right?
Spiky castle.
Spiky castle. But why is it spiky?
A tu brute castle.
So thank you for coming along with us. If you like this episode, please feel free to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that means so much to me and Tyler. Because it helps us grow through the charts and more people can see the show and we get more exposure in the good way, not the bad way.
Or you can leave a 5-star review and say, love the podcast, Charlie. Man, you got to lay off that history, bro.
Aw, man, that's great.
Aw, man, that is great. Also, like we discussed, if you like this podcast, if you're all caught up, if it's Wednesday, you got nothing else to listen to. Tuesday just seems like eons away. You can always hit up our Patreon/Believing the Bizarre. Check out tons of additional bonus content. Seriously, look at our tiers. Like, I'm not going to talk about price, not talking about that. Look at our tiers. I am very confident in saying that we do a lot of additional bonus content.
That's true.
You will not get bored. it will take a quite a bit to catch up on all of that stuff too, because we've been doing it for a few months. So if you love the podcast and you're looking for a little bit more, we highly recommend checking out our Patreon. So as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are.